The University of Detroit Mercy presents a special summertime edition of Ask the Professor. Today, the professors are gathered for their annual backyard picnic. So grab your paper plate and a cold beverage and enjoy today's special edition of Ask the Professor.
Chimes from Heather Hill Vasquez's backyard ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and before I introduce to you our panel for today, I'd like to say that this is a wonderful show we have planned today. We actually are truly, really in Professor Heather Hill Vasquez's backyard for our annual Ed DeWint Garden Party show. Dan is noshing on some fresh vegetables. Everybody's enjoying iced tea and lemonade.
You want to introduce him first? Yeah. While his mouth is full.
Isn't that the tradition? And we have the bubbling Rouge River in the background, as well as the water feature, also behind Dan. So we're happy to be out in the splendor of nature. To my left, from the Department of Religious Studies, is Professor Jim Tubbs. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Did you just get back from Cancun or something?
No, years ago.
Oh, okay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I mean, it's a little warm, but, you know, that's not
a
too bad.
Warm?
Yeah, I mean, Jim, this is just like the way it was growing up for you, right? I mean, seriously?
This is a little cool. Oh. What summer was like growing up in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Remind me to never
lose. We refer to August as the double 90s. Over 90 degrees and over 90% humidity.
Oh, my word. Remind me to never move to the Carolinas. This is pretty brutal.
Well, not all the Carolinas is like that.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
The mountains are great.
Okay. Going further around the table, we've got, I nearly said, the Medicine Hat Tigers guy. It's Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, and sweating as always.
Sweating as always.
I'm passing water like the Sioux Locks right about now.
You buy your Medicine Hat shirt, but don't they just only come in long sleeve?
No, I wish they did.
We're going to do our best to stay hydrated and stay cool and eat fried chicken to the best of our ability. As the day passes on here.
You mean fried chicken?
Fried chicken, absolutely.
Finger licking good.
Continuing around the table, he just showed up. And boy, are his arms tired or something? It's Professor Joe Avised from the Department of Communication Studies.
A lot of traffic,
yes.
Especially getting in here.
And
you're doing some
road
work outside
of
your the entrance to your street, Heather.
Yeah, how annoying.
It's crazy.
I kind of pulled an illegal move, I think, on the way back. Actually, the guy with the sign yelled at me. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I signaled to
you
go
came
left.
Around and turned.
I went over to the other side, and there was no other way for me to get in. So, and I was on an ice run.
Well,
and Brian was here, and I had to get back.
Well, come on. Let's do this. Let's get this done. Right?
I live on that street.
Oh, my.
Dudes.
I was about to turn back, but.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. We're all glad that you didn't, Joe.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. How are things going?
They're going pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Something about the golden days of summer. Just takes one away. We don't know if the folks listening right now can hear the water feature, but it's sad. You said something about it lulling our listeners to sleep. I'm really quite more worried about myself at this point.
Will our listeners recognize? Will it make any difference?
Snoring? They'll probably recognize that.
They'll probably recognize. I've overgrown
tonsils. Make it easier for them to stump the professors, right?
Exactly.
Just for clarification purposes, you're worried about yourself falling asleep, or you're worried about yourself lulling the listeners to sleep?
Probably a little from column A. And
one would lead to the other, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks so much for hosting us, Professor Heather Hill Vasquez, the Department of English.
You're very welcome.
This is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Professor Dan Maggio is here from the First Organization.
I'm Matt.
He's a big fan of peninsulas.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This is from Berkeley.
Oh, well, there you go. Perfect. Have you seen the deer in Berkeley recently?
No.
Apparently they are about.
I saw them on Facebook.
Yes.
So where do they go when they're not in Berkeley?
Yeah, I don't. That's what I, where do you think
right
they're
here,
hiding?
Probably.
You think they have one of those bungalows on Harvard right now?
No, they're here eating all of my flowers. Mm.
This is their summer residence, right?
Yeah. All of your hard work from the winter and the spring, Heather. I'm sorry. Sorry.
They're voracious this year.
I think they're actually Huntington Woods deer just visiting Berkeley for the day.
Slumming crossing 11 miles
in Berkeley.
Is tough.
Rogue.
I tell you, it's
they're
tough.
Rogue.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Now, are they just eating the shoots, Heather? They're not going so far as to eat the actual ball in the ground, are they?
No, I'm talking now about, like, hostas, geraniums.
Okay.
things like that.
They eat your hostas?
Yes, they've eaten about... Mark, my husband, estimates they've probably eaten about 100 hostas on our property.
Unbelievable. So will they come back or they're gone?
They can have the
balloons. They'll come back.
Wow.
Oh, the deer or the hostas?
Or Mark.
Both. Mark will come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Mark. All three, the deer and the hostas.
Usually. And Mark will come back as well, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Not all at the same time, right?
The deer and the hostas may come back, and then it gets confusing.
Yeah.
I thought that was definitely going in.
I'm
have you ever
confused.
Been to Capistrano when the swallows return? Like, that's where that was going, pretty hardcore. Professor Chuck Hokett is here from ITS. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
It's good to see you.
It's you.
It's always good to see Chuck during the summer because I know he's not completely losing his mind getting a bunch of IT set up for people.
That's
so.
True. It's true.
Only slightly, right? Slightly.
I was going to say the deer, we have some in Novi. We got some near deer in Novi right down the middle of the street. So they're all over.
Well, Brian says,
yeah.
Brian's over there by the waterfall, that because we had a mild winter, we have more deer.
Huh. You can chart that.
Well, we're
going to
have more insects, too, I think.
Yeah,
that's
think
true. Right,
we're
yeah.
already experimenting with yeah. that right now, huh?
Yeah.
Keep on going around the tableau, and we end up with Professor Prasad Venugopal from physics.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Nice of you to match your T-shirt to your phone. I think that's pretty classy.
Yeah. Jobs with justice. That's
yeah,
what
absolutely.
The T-shirt says.
Absolutely. Now, where's that from?
Anything. Pardon?
Where'd you get the shirt?
From Jobs with Justice.
Okay. So
I'm on the steering committee of that organization.
Well,
and you wear this shirt and you go out and you, when you protest or when you support workers' rights.
Got it. Very
it's
cool.
It's probably about 15 to 20 years old.
That and $3 will get you a cup of fair trade coffee, right?
That's right.
It doesn't look like it's been overly washed.
Not at all.
In that it amount fades. Of time.
I
it's
try
not,
not
faded
to.
At
There's
all.
A little bit of honor in, like, how many protests have I been to kind of thing.
I had the same response as Jim. It looks pretty darn new.
Yeah, it's quite old, though. Skipped its color.
And so have
apparently
you.
The economy is doing well. We don't have to protest
Red
a lot.
Red dye number 68.
Oh, my. And completing our circuit around the table, we have Professor Jason Roach. Man, oh, man, it's been a while.
In a very different shade of red.
In a very different shade of red.
Yeah.
Sort of like a brick red.
Is that the university's colors now, the new brick red?
It's pretty close. Yeah, I'd say it's pretty close.
Well, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
I missed you guys.
Well, we
Where have
were...
Where
have
you been?
I'm around.
We were all extremely pleased to see the pictures of you and your son, Jeremiah.
Yes.
Any nicknames catching on?
Little J.
Little J. All right, we'll take it.
Little
Maternity
J.
leave has been great. I would like to thank our Jobs for Justice and union leader for getting us that time off. Thank you.
Very, very
You're
cool.
You're welcome.
Very, very
Wasn't,
cool.
It was a team effort.
Nice.
As
About
reflected by your
it.
Logo. That's right. You want to unveil to the audience the big news here, Jason?
We got a new contract.
Well done.
Well done. Yeah.
We usually let Jeremiah announce it. Mama's got a baby in the belly.
That's right. That was really cute too. Very well edited video. If I don't say so myself, you know, I can't imagine where that came from.
Probably could have done it a little better. But.
Yeah. So we'll have you back for the fall, and then we'll
Another
miss you again.
Leave next winter.
Miss you again in the winter. That's wild.
And I'll miss you too.
Excellent. Thank you for sending in the questions throughout your absence. They really did help. We actually have a couple banked, but we'll save on those till the fall.
Nice.
Folks, as always, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump this wonderful panel I have around me, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too. What the hey? We'll send the question. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. We have massaged our website, and it's pretty darn Web 3.0 right now if you want to check it out. Or, of course, you can find us on Facebook. Let's see what we got here. I have a very mysterious-looking envelope. It says, Matt, mystery category questions. So let's open those to start.
Uh-oh.
I believe these were submitted by the enigmatic Al Fresco. Let's see what we got cooking here. Ah!
In a sealed envelope.
In a sealed envelope.
Kept in a mason jar.
A mason jar. Yeah.
Under a porch.
Yeah.
And was it Deloitte Touche? Or no, who's the accounting firm?
Price Waterhouse.
I knew it was one of the two.
They're out now, right? Because they screwed up.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
People
are
up. The people are they're coming back.
They're going to really hire them back? All right.
The firm, yes.
The firm, not the people that misdelivered the winning envelope.
But isn't the firm ultimately responsible for the actions of their employees?
It's easier to fire the person. That's awesome.
Actually, it's the first thing the firm says. We are not responsible for the actions of our employees.
Wow.
Just
what a business activity. A new wrinkle on ATP, Al Fresco writes. A series of 10 seemingly unrelated questions and answers. At the end of the round, I will ask the esteemed panel to find the missing link, i.e., what all of your responses have had in common. Mm-hmm. Question number one. This announcer recently retired after 67 years, parentheses, this is not a typo, broadcasting baseball, and was also the inspiration for the name of a character in a popular TV sci-fi drama.
It's Vin Scully.
Vin Scully, indeed. That would be inspiration for Dana Scully's name on the X-Files.
That's true. I didn't know that.
Follow-up for fun. What was the name of the X-Files episode in which Vin Scully can be heard in the background calling a game? You don't have to think too hard to figure this one out. It's a play on a very famous baseball movie.
Field of something?
Good guess. Partial credit. Incorrect.
Field of Screams.
I love it. That was the obvious go-to. No, it was called The
There's
Unnatural.
There's no crying in X-Files anymore.
Oh, the Robert Redford.
The Unnatural.
The Unnatural. Yes, exactly. Number two, this co-founder of the Upright Citizens Brigade and former Saturday Night Live star has also unsurprisingly co-hosted the Golden Globes alongside Tina Fey.
Jimmy Fallon?
Nope. No, what is her name?
Amy
Poehler.
Amy Poehler. Yep. Give that one to someone on this side of the table.
Amy Poehler, sure Vin Scully. Okay.
We have Vin Scully and Amy Poehler. Which current member of the United States Supreme Court once required his staff members to watch the 1949 film version of Ayn Rand's The Fountainhead?
Clarence Thomas.
Yes, Clarence Thomas. Joe comes out of nowhere. Clarence Thomas. I don't know if I've ever seen that one.
Yeah, Patricia Neal was in it.
Okay.
She played Danny Taggart. And, who was the guy? Not Cary Grant, the other... Gary
Peck?
Cooper. Gary Cooper, yeah.
You've seen it, Jim?
Yes.
Okay.
Years
okay.
ago.
Is it? Is the movie like 8 hours long? Is
no.
It the only way? Oh, okay.
No, that's Atlas Shrugged. It's so long.
Got it. All right. I'm confusing my literature here. A native of Nebraska, this pitcher overcame childhood rickets and asthma to become a Hall of Fame pitcher noted for his ferocity and willingness to brush hitters back.
Nolan Ryan?
Nope, that's a good guess.
Roger Clemens is not in the Hall of Fame.
He's not in the Hall of Fame yet.
That's right.
Randy Johnson?
Initials for his his vernacular name are BG.
Bob Gibson.
Bob Gibson is who it was. Sending things right in front of the bellies of those batters. So we got Vin Scully, Amy Poehler, Clarence Thomas, Bob Gibson. Which author who died earlier in 2017 wrote a novel centered on Regan McNeil, the film version of which was so disturbing to some viewers, the theaters provided barf bags for patrons?
Silence of the Lambs?
No, no, no. You go a little further back.
Okay, hold on.
What's name up? Of the author or the film?
We're looking for the author.
Oh.
The author who died
this
year.
Earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. Of the book that inspired the film?
Right. Very good. Regan McNeil was the name of the character from the story.
Why does that name sound so familiar?
It's not The Exorcist, is it?
It is The Exorcist.
It is.
Peter Blatty?
Blatty, yes, exactly.
I've never been to a movie where you need a barf bag.
Not
I was
yet.
Thinking of it, but the name 3D glasses didn't ring a bell.
It's not that scary, Exorcist.
It's pretty disturbing.
It's a great movie.
Yeah,
my brother saw it when he was about 13 or 14 and couldn't sleep for the next 3 or 4 days after that.
Wow.
That musical chimes theme is great.
The tubular, that's because you kept on throwing pea soup at him every couple hours, right?
So. That's right.
Who was the first woman, and for the record, the second youngest person, to hold the position of White House press secretary? Hint, she was later a consultant on the West Wing.
It's not the one they have now, then.
Nope.
No,
hint number two, she was press secretary for the first 2 years of the Bill Clinton administration.
Ann, what's the name? Ann.
Monica.
No.
Dina, Dean something.
It starts with a D.
Yes,
Dina Myers.
Very good. Dana Myers.
Yeah.
Dina Myers.
D.D. Myers.
D.D.
Myers.
D.D.
Myers.
Where are
we?
Oh, yeah.
Very well done. Very well done.
Close enough for justice work.
That's right.
Jeez. Unless you've been
the money for ATP, right?
Yeah. Unless you've been on a deserted island. or somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, you should be able to guess the former PE and math teacher who portrayed the first beatnik character on primetime TV. I believe they're referring to Maynard G. Krebs.
What, like Bob Denver?
Bob Denver is what we have listed here. Yes, very well done.
Oh,
Vin Scully.
Rocky Mountains reference then. That's nice.
There you go.
Can we have that list of names again?
Okay,
Vin Scully, Amy Poehler, Clarence Thomas, Bob Gibson, William Peter Blatty, Dee Dee Myers, and Bob Denver is what we have so far. Who's the man with the button-down mind whose album with that phrase reached number one on the Billboard album charts for 14 weeks in 1960? Hint, he's also portrayed a psychologist and an innkeeper.
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart, yes. Yeah. I got to say, growing up in the realm where all those shows were very hot, my parents watched them all the time, and I would sit every once in a while and catch maybe 5 contiguous minutes. I had no idea why the shows were funny. It's just a difference in generation. I look at like clips now, and it's very amusing, but at the time, not so much.
Well, Suzanne Pleshette would be very entertaining.
That is for sure.
The custodian guy, didn't she? They were married.
The who guy?
Suzanne
who was the custodian
married
guy?
Daryl and his brother Daryl.
No.
You think of Pat Schneider or no?
No. On Bob Newhart show.
The original Newhart show.
Yeah, the original one. She
like the old.
No,
guy?
No. The one that he had in the inn.
Oh, that's the second one.
Right.
Tom Post.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were married.
Tom Post.
Oh,
They were married.
Tom Poston did appear in the original one too.
Oh, really?
Really?
He was in an episode. Yep.
Special guest.
We have all the new hearts.
He was a psychiatrist.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah. That's what I was
thinking. Because Mark loves the
Mark
show.
Loves the humor.
You know you know where it is? Take one guess where it is. It's in the bathroom.
Oh. It's where they keep their DVDs. No. Who's the first actor to be nominated for an Academy Award twice for playing the same role? He won in 1944, but lost in 1945 to Ray Milland for The Lost Weekend. I wouldn't have been able to get this one.
Same role.
Same role?
Yeah. Back-to-back years.
So I'm guessing the film
Humphrey
is
Bogart?
Sequel?
Yeah.
I know what the correct response is, but I don't have the name of the movies or the role.
Humphrey Bogart?
No, it's not Bogart.
Pigeon?
But you're in the right era. Cary Grant. Maybe if I talk like this for the rest.
Jimmy Stewart?
Oh. Bad imitation.
John Wayne?
Let me tell you, Pod.
Betty Davis.
No.
Could you repeat that, please?
I believe that this famous crooner, like
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby is who it was.
What was the name of the
movie? For Going My Way?
It doesn't say what they were. Unfortunately, it just says that Lost in 1945.
So it was the same character, two different movies.
I tell you what,
might be Going
folks,
My Way.
We'll go into our DVD library for Bing Crosby, but now we're going to take a break.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, recorded at the ATP Annual Backyard Picnic. We thank you for listening and invite you to send questions to the show by email at atp@udmercy.edu. You can also find us on Facebook. Now, let's get back to the picnic in the second half of Ask the Professor.
And we're back. Finishing up some great questions from the mind of Al Fresco. Big time puzzle with this one. We got one question to go, and you've got to figure out what, just to catch everybody up, Vin Scully, Amy Poehler, Clarence Thomas, Bob Gibson, William Peter Blatty, Dee Dee Myers, Bob Denver, Bob Newhart, Bing Crosby, and blank all have in common. You should be on the 310 to Yuma if you can't tell me which author, who had his novels adapted 19 times into motion pictures, also worked for the Campbell Ewald Advertising Agency for several years.
Elmore Leonard
is the last puzzle clue. What do all these answers have in common?
It's
got to
be something with Bob.
Jesuit
education. Their name is Bob, or they had some Bob associated with them.
Basically, Jason just let the cat out of the bag.
I think Jesuit education.
They all went to Jesuit schools. Huh. Pretty interesting. Scully went to Fordham. Amy Poehler went to BC. Clarence Thomas, Holy Cross. Bob Gibson, Creighton. Blatty went to Georgetown. That's not surprising.
Newhart went to Loyola Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Loyola Chicago. Dee Dee Myers went to Santa Clara. Bob Denver went to Loyola Marymount. Mm-hmm. Bing Crosby, Gonzaga. And, of course, the venerable Elmore Leonard went to the University of Detroit. Who is the only one of these people who didn't actually earn the degree they got from their institution?
What was that?
It was an honorary degree.
Bing Crosby?
It was Bing Crosby, yes. Yeah. Bing Crosby did not actually earn it. Pretty well done, guys. Pretty well done. It's 100%. Makes the grading very, very easy. And now we can move on to another set of questions here. Let's see. Ah, here we go. We have a wonderful set of questions that comes with this warning. I hope you all don't suffer from triskaidekaphobia. 13 questions in total. The last one is a doozy. Unless you decide to do some summer ATP shows, I'll look forward to hearing these broadcast in the fall. Well, 1, 2, 3 now. We are ready to go with some wonderful questions from Kimberly Richards, longtime show supporter and writer. Kimberly. Thank you very much, Kimberly. A dozen questions from all over the map of human knowledge and a convoluted bonus to make it a baker's dozen. Here we go. Which country has the highest Catholic population in the world?
The Vatican City?
Philippines?
Poland.
Don't know if they're considering...
The number? The total number?
I believe we're talking about gross number here. We're talking about total number.
Total number. Okay. Yep. I'm going with like...
Brazil? Yeah. Pakistan?
No, yeah. We're going to, yeah. You go to Southeast Asia, if not Central or South America, go to Southeast Asia. I'm going Philippines, I would want to say Indonesia, but I'm not sure that's right.
A number of the countries you mentioned are on the list, and I think someone did mention the correct response, which is Brazil. Okay. 127 million Catholics. It makes up 12% of the world's Catholic population. Followed very closely by Mexico, actually not that closely at all, 96 million. Philippines, 76. The U.S., 75. Italy, 49. Colombia, 38. France, 38. Poland, 35. And Congo, 31. The top 10 countries alone account for over 50% of the global Catholic population. And Brazil, of course, has more Catholics than Italy, France, and Poland, the top three European countries combined. I love how Kimberly always gives us the little side info there. The stats. Yeah. I love it. In which year were tobacco commercials banned from network TV?
71, 72, thereabouts?
You know, you're close, but you're not quite there.
74.
It says Nixon signed the law.
76, 71.
75.
No. The Public Health Cigarette Smoking Act banning the advertising 76. Of cigarettes on TV.
Nixon.
73.
Well, he was out by...
74. He was out 74.
73 and a half.
Two of January 1971.
Oh, close. We had it surrounded.
Yeah, we were all around it.
We said that earlier, yeah.
The Virginia Slims brand was the last commercial shown during commercial break on The Tonight Show, 11:59 p.m. on January 1st. What a wonderful country we live in. Since 2010, regulations also prohibit tobacco companies from sponsoring sports, music, and other cultural events. They can no longer display their logos or advertise on T-shirts, hats, or other wearing apparel.
They don't need to.
They don't need to.
Their sales have skyrocketed.
Although, I got to say, the stats for something like the 15th straight year on teen smoking are going down, down, down. It's really weird. It's like, what happened?
There are plenty of Marlboro baseball caps still, that's still floating around.
Oh, no, they're old and ragged, though, right?
Yeah, they're exploding in other countries.
Oh,
China.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
They smoke like fiends.
Do they advertise over there?
They sure do.
And absolutely. Russia.
Absolutely.
Professor Chow says they smoke
trust
like
me,
fiends.
I know. All my cousins do.
Oh, my God.
I'm the only one over there that doesn't smoke.
Wow.
Well, when you go there. Not often.
Which country, speaking of countries, has the oldest continuously used national flag? Ooh. Looks like it was adopted in 1625. That's pretty old.
Portugal?
Switzerland?
No. Spain?
It's a good guess. It's a definitely, I would call it a European nation.
Scotland.
Not Scotland.
Liechtenstein.
Monaco.
Denmark. Or
Denmark, yeah. That's what it says here, yeah.
Nice.
1625, it took on its square shape in 1748. In Denmark, the flag is known as the Dannebrog, or the Danish cloth. Although Denmark was never part of the Roman Empire, similar designs were used by the empire to represent provinces, as the white cross on the flag is symbolic of Christianity. Okay, let's move on down the line here. These are pretty tough. Who was the first African-American to appear on both a U.S. postage stamp and a U.S. coin?
Harriet Tubman?
It's not Harriet Tubman.
Sojourner Truth?
No, that's another good guess.
Madam C.J. Walker?
Nope.
And Kurtz?
It's a male. It's a
US
male.
Coin?
George Washington Carver?
Yeah. Carver, yeah.
Carver. Not Carver. No. No.
Not Martin Luther King Jr.?
It's not Bill Cosby.
Not a coin.
Malcolm X.
No.
For the record, years after the stamp was issued, this person was honored on the very first coin ever to feature an African-American, a memorial half dollar.
Who was, I'm blanking out, Du Bois's nemesis, if you will.
Is it female? Male?
Male.
Du Bois.
Male.
Darth Vader?
James Earl Jones?
Matt King Cole?
Barack Obama?
What was it?
The
one who founded Tuskegee University.
Oh. Thurgood Marshall.
George Washington Carver.
No.
Fairly straightforward clue, three initials, B-T-W.
Booker T. Washington.
That's what I was thinking
of.
Oh my gosh. It says the half dollar was minted from 46 to 51. Very small window, but you know, it's real.
It's a collector's item now.
Yeah, you hold that one.
The stamp was 7 April 1940, so several years later that the coin rolled around, literally. April Fool's Day, 1988. Which chain staged a hoax of advertising a hamburger made specifically for the needs of left-handed people?
Sounds like a Burger King.
Burger King, yeah.
It is Burger King. Sounds like a Burger King.
Have it your way.
Actually,
that was the day I went into business.
Nice.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
How fitting.
I know, exactly. That's why we chose that day.
How fitting. What can I say about that? It says Burger King published a full-page ad, USA Today, announcing the introduction of the left-handed Whopper, designed for the 32 million left-handed Americans. Left-handed Whopper had all condiments rotated 180 degrees, thereby redistributing the weight of the sandwich so the bulk of the condiments will skew to the left, reducing the amount of lettuce and other toppings from spilling out the right side. The following day, Burger King issued a follow-up release revealing it was a hoax.
They didn't change anything.
They didn't change anything, except for their perspective, I suppose. Yeah. Anything's possible, right? How many main islands? Oh, that's tricky.
Seven.
Make up the state of Hawaii.
Eight. Four.
Main islands?
It says eight.
Oh, eight?
It says eight. And Masad gets partial credit. Yeah.
Four.
Hawaii, Maui, Oahu, Kauai, Molokai, Lanai, Niihau, and Kilauea.
Dan, you've been to all of them?
Or? I've been to none of them.
That's how he knows.
You just one-upped me, didn't you? I said seven.
I believe that is true. Yeah.
Study it right before we came.
It says of the islands, the most popular is Oahu for tourists, which is home to Pearl Harbor and Waikiki, as well as the big capital city of Honolulu. The largest island, of course, is the big one, as they call it. Hawaii became the 50th state, of course, on 21 August 1959.
So what's going to happen with Puerto Rico?
That's a good question. Right. Oh, that's all the time we have for today. So it's time for us all to say goodbye, Professor Roach.
Goodbye, Professor Roach.
Professor Venugopal.
Goodbye. What happened to Dave's question? Is that for the next episode?
I guess so. Professor Hokett.
Goodbye, Professor Roach.
Professor Maggio.
Goodbye, Jason.
Professor Hill Vasquez.
Goodbye.
Professor Abbasid.
See you soon.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu, tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed here at the Hill Vasquez House in the backyard down on the lower level. Ask the Professor is produced today by Brian Masonville, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.